You're listening to CJSR 88.5. I'm Lucas Anders, your moving radio correspondent. Maxwell Nelavansky and Carl Frey are writer-directors. They're debuting their film together, Rats.
Damn.
Ralphie! Come on in, my boy! God damn, give me a hug, man!
So listen, the only reason I'm staying with you is because this psycho pig who arrested me.
Gotcha!
She thinks that you have nuclear bombs and are planning to blow up Texas.
We are about this close to being completely wiped off the face of the planet.
Man, Officer Williams, crazy ass, don't had it out for me since she caught me smelling like weed in high school.
They're alumni of the Calgary Underground Film Festival, and you can catch their film on Saturday, April 20th at 7:30 p.m. out at the Globe Cinema in Calgary.
Max will be in attendance with the producer and actor, Daniel Plager. Welcome to Moving Radio, Max.
Thank you for having me. Really excited to be here.
Yeah, it's fantastic to have you on the show. Your film is quite a wild ride, and I think it's really interesting to explore that meaning behind a film, especially from a creator's perspective. So for the audience, what do you believe Rats is about at its core?
I think Rats at its core is about the end of the emo and scene era and trying to write a love letter to an embarrassing cringe time that I was definitely heavily a part of. It's a stoner comedy. It's a music film in many ways. It's full of so many songs that we all know. If you're in your early to late 30s, you're going to be shocked to see a lot of this on the screen. Yeah, a lot of memories of me coming back.
Kind of curious about you and Carl. I know he's a big part of that project. Like, you worked on this together as writers and directors of this film. It's your debut together. How did you two meet? And maybe how did you come to this idea around this film?
Well, Carl and I had made a short film called With Pleasure that played a lot of great film festivals, including Calgary Underground, Fantastic Fest, and Sitges in Spain, a lot of great ones. But we met on the set of a film that I was production designing called Lingua Franca, which is this really intimate, beautiful story about a trans woman who's working for this old Russian woman who falls in love with her son, who's this troubled youth. So very much a different film than Rats entirely, but a beautiful film that we had the pleasure of helping bring to life that went to Venice and ended up on Netflix. I'm a production designer by trade, and Carl's a VFX artist. We kind of shared each other's short films. I had made a bunch of short films before that also had played Calgary, and Carl showed me some of his short films that were just so impressive. Like, he was making these things for like $1,000, people doing like backflips off of cars and kicking people's heads off, and the kind of action sequences like this, I didn't really know how to approach. And so when I saw that, I'm like, wow, like, I want to make an action movie. I don't know how to make an action movie. Like, how do we do this? So we made that short film With Pleasure, and then we made Rats. And Rats is pretty much based off of a combination of life experiences of both Carl and I. Of course, we didn't kill a bunch of cops. And of course, we didn't sell meth and do things like this. But Carl had a bunch of horrible roommates that were, unbeknownst to him, doing horrific things. And in the opening of the film, not to spoil it, but it's not really a spoiler, we see a kid getting arrested for graffiti, and then there's some time that he spent in a holding cell, and then his experiences at community service afterwards, which are all directly pulled from my experiences dealing with being arrested. So navigating the trauma and, you know, through film, which is a really useful tool.
Speaking to that, in terms of the character Rafi, I noticed a lot of bright colors throughout the film that sort of surrounded him when he was alone. I get a sense that those bright colors represented him as an artist. Would you say that's accurate?
That's an interesting take. Represented him as an artist. I mean, like, maybe it's tough because, like, we have a joke in the film where we're like, oh, you're different. You're an artist, Rafi. And we see his work and it's always really, really, really poor. It's not very good, which is kind of an experience that I've had going to, like, a really great art school, but feeling like, well, I can't really make art. Like, why the hell am I here? So that was kind of what the root of those jokes are. But, you know, as far as like the color and the palette, we had that before we even finished the script. Like, we were thinking about a lot of the visual sensibilities of the film before we'd even finished writing it. We knew we wanted to make something that was incredibly saturated and vibrant, kind of like throwing back to like, but I'm a cheerleader, Serial Mom, some of these like extremely cursed suburban films that inspired us greatly. Kind of wanted to do a little bit of an ode to those with our color palette. But like the pink house that you see in this film is actually based directly off of this neighbor that Carl has in the town of Pflugerville, Texas. And this guy painted his house Pepto-Bismol pink. He painted his driveway Pepto-Bismol pink, his car Pepto-Bismol pink, the fence, the curtains, the blinds, the roof, the tiles, and the neighborhood was up in a riot about it. They were so, so pissed. The sweetest paraplegic man who just loves pink, and the neighbors were like, "You can't do this." Of course he can do this. It's his own house. But they banned the color pink in Pflugerville, that color, that Pepto pink. They banned it. They don't. You can't even buy it at Home Depot. You can't buy it at any paint store. He has to go like 50 miles to get that color to do touch-ups. So yeah, that was kind of the big inspiration for the use of pink. Also, pink is really prominent in the emo era as well. You know, you see the pinks and the neon greens. So yeah, we wanted to lean into all those emo sensibilities as much as we could.
Yeah, that's an interesting aspect, because you talk a little bit about this idea of like neighbors telling us what we can't do. And I feel like that's kind of a theme that almost pervades the film. Like there's those old ladies that join the party. Their eyes always get a bit crazy when they're trying to tell people what they want them to do. Is that something that you were intentional about?
Yeah, you know, it's like this thing, like Carl and I really wanted to create like a uncanny series of motifs using like the liquefy effect towards faces. We see a character, we see this one horrible police officer who's one of the leads of the film, played by Danielle Plager, who will be in Calgary. You know, we see like her jaw like extend when she gets so horny when she sees this dead body, which is like a horrifying thing. She walks in on a man who had just sadly killed himself, and she's so excited to have found this body because she finally thinks that she's gotten this kid that's just a small-time weed dealer, and she's just certain that he's selling drugs and nuclear weapons and all this stuff. I guess, it was just like a motif, you know, like, oh, once we did that once, where we kind of like made the eyes big and kind of cursed, we're like, oh, we got to do that again. That's really working. Like any place that we could find a laugh, we wanted to do it. We didn't want to take our foot off the gas when it came to any joke, you know? And a lot of those jokes we were finding in post, which is exciting. It's not super common.
I noticed early on, they seem to disappear, but like there's black flies that pop into frame. Was that something that you...
Like the band? Black flags?
No, like actual little flies in the frame.
Oh, flies. Yes. We've done that now in a couple of movies. It was just intentionally making it seem like something was going wrong while filming, just putting a fly into the scene. And then once the audience kind of was like, oh, wait, that fly is that intentional? Adding that kind of confusion makes things kind of uncanny valley or a little bit off, makes you feel a little bit sick, which was kind of our goal there.
When we meet Mateo, Raphael's cousin, he's surrounded by this pig memorabilia in his home. Yes. He has a pet pig. Is there any meaning behind that in terms of his love for that animal? Or is that like a connection to the police?
Yeah, absolutely. Well, you know, the film's called Rats, not because it's a movie about rodents, though there is one rat in the film. It's about ratting on people, being an informant, you know, don't rat, you know, just kind of that general theme. Please don't rat on people. It's not a good thing to do. And the pig, his pet pig, definitely is, as you see at the end of the film, there's a joke about it. But yeah, it's just because cops are pigs. And so we thought it'd be funny. He hates cops, but he loves this pig, but he hates those pigs. And that pig is played by the actor Larry the Pig, who is Carl Fry, my co-director's pet and best friend, Larry. So Larry would be there in the backyard. We'd be giving him melon, smashing fruit on the ground, giving him bananas, hanging out with him, scratching his back. And we knew we had to find a way to put him in this movie. Also, it's just so cute. Like this cop thinks he's selling nuclear weapons. And then we're like, wait, he has a pet pig, like this big kind of grotesque, beautiful pig that he just like is like so affectionate towards. And that was kind of the goal. Like this film has so much violence, obviously, even though it's used to comedic effect. It's not like gratuitous violence against women, it's against cops and pigs, so it's fine. But we wanted to make it cute no matter what, you know? We're like, how do we, like, this scene's gonna be disgusting, but how do we still make it cute somehow? That was like a core tenet.
Danielle Plager, who plays the police officer, she has a really wild energy throughout the film, bending convention a bit, because like we usually see that in male characters, like your super trooper. sort of an intentional choice as well to kind of make Danielle like a different approach to a female and maybe a cop as well.
Yeah. Of course. I mean, like, these are roles that you would see usually played by, like, a Nicolas Cage, you know? Like, we see this played by men all the time. Like, these, like, psychotic, fully unhinged characters. And we don't really get to see women, like, do this, like, in a totally, like, unsexual way. Just, like, fully just going all the way to 10. So we really wanted to make sure that this film was starring a woman in a role like this, because it was important for us to see what we wanted to see. That's what you do as a filmmaker. I'm like, why isn't there a Mandy starring Mandy? Like, where's that film? So that was kind of an inspiration.
You're listening to CJSR Moving Radio. We're talking with Maxwell Nalivansky, who's collaborating on his first feature film in collaboration with Carl Fry. You can catch their film on Saturday, April 20th at 7:30 down at the Globe Cinema.
It seems like Raphael, Bernadette, and Matteo, in this film, they're surrounded by a lot of chaos. Despite them being labeled as outsiders from everyone else, they seem to be probably the most normal group of people in this film. I'm certain that was intentional. Can you maybe speak to that?
Yeah, you know, when you're making like a balls-to-the-wall comedy where there's so many unhinged characters and untrustworthy characters and unconventional characters, I still want to make a movie that's watchable, at least for me. But like, you know, we have to ground that somehow with some, like, you know, with some truth. And that's what we did with three of our leads. Darius Autry, who plays his cousin Mateo, the small-time weed dealer, his love interest slash crush and kind of only friend besides his cousin in town now, Bernadette, because we want them to leave. Like, that's our goals. We just want them to get out. We just want to grow up. Like, how many people grew up in a town they just wanted to escape? It's like a notion that so many people have felt. Oh, I just want to get out of my town. I just want to get out of my town. Once I finish City College, I'm just going to get out of my town. Once I get enough money, I'm just going to get out of the town. But a lot of people just never leave, you know, and we want to see them leave.
Yeah, you certainly feel this sense of relief with them when they do, or that ability to escape.
Because it's a coming-of-age film in some ways, too. Sorry to talk over you. You know, it's like a little bit of a coming-of-age film, like in some sense. There's so many different tones in the film. People are always like, oh, what genre is this? Oh, I don't know if it's going to be right for this festival. I don't know if these people are going to like it because I don't know what genre it is. It's a comedy. But we experiment with comedy in the film. And people seem to love it when genres are blended. Everything, Everywhere, All at Once. People loved that movie, didn't they? You know, and like, what genre was that? Yeah, I don't know what my rant is right now. Sorry.
It's all good.
I just woke up and I'm like, listen, genre doesn't matter, jerk.
it definitely explores a lot of areas. In terms of like the Calgary Underground Film Festival, you're an alumni of this film festival. Why do you think it's important to filmmakers like yourself?
Oh, gosh. I was talking about this with an actor I ran into the other week. Honestly, and like, maybe I'm a little bit biased because when I went to the film festival with my short, A Chest of Drawers, it was like one of the greatest 96 hours of my life. This festival is so damn supportive. You know, Brenda like actually wants to nurture alumni filmmakers. You know, she wants to support you. You know, all these massive, like big festivals I've played in the past, like it's hard to get a relationship with these programmers. You know what I mean? It's hard to get a relationship with the audience. And when I went to Calgary, it was like, so easy to talk to people after a screening. I've kept in touch with like half a dozen to a dozen people I met there, fell in love there. It was a great place, you know? And like people, the screenings are almost always like sold out. The theater is like big. It's just like, and they support you. They can fly you out. Like it's hard to find that a lot of these major festivals, Sundance or whatever. And to be honest, I really think the programming is just as good or better. It's like really, really great programming. They just have like a touch for programming. I mean, gosh, there's so many festivals that are massive that are like, no offense, but like Tribeca's programming is horrific. They play bad movies, you know what I mean? And Cuff plays good ones. You know, it's like as simple as that. They actually care about the film, not just who's in it. Oh, is there an actor from The Big Bang Theory in the movie? Oh, we're going to put it in. No one wants to see anyone from The Big Bang Theory in a horror film. Are you out of your mind? Drive my car off a cliff. Calgary plays real movies. Yeah, it's great.
Yeah, there's definitely an excitement, I'm sure, for that return to Calgary, hey?
Gosh, I'm so excited. It stinks because, you know, I went there in 2019 with our film A Chest of Drawers with my best friend Max Gottlieb, who I wrote that film with, and we produced it together, and we just had like the best time. And then we made another movie, Jazzberry, that got in, and then of course it's pandemic, you know, and we played with and we made With Pleasure with Carl, and then still it was like weird traveling at the time. So it's like a major victory. Like finally 5 years later, I can come back. Like this is my fourth movie playing Calgary, and I've been trying to come back for the last two times. So it's gonna be exciting to finally do it.
Incredible. So when folks come to see this film on Saturday, what do you want them to take away?
First of all, I want people to maybe smoke something beforehand. It's legal in Canada, is it not?
Yeah.
College kids, millennials, old people, all of y'all, get a little bit high for me. You know, John Waters once said, smoke cigarettes in the theater, give the ushers a job. You know, that I feel that way. I want to get kicked out of Canada. Drive me out. Drag me out. I want them to laugh. We made this for people to laugh. You know, obviously there's some touching moments, there's some grotesque moments, there's some quote unquote shock value moments. Not that that's really what drove me to make it, but you know, we did it for the joke. We just want you to laugh. Do you miss comedies? Do you miss actually laughing at them? If you love Napoleon Dynamite, then I think you're gonna love Rats. If you love Burn After Reading, I think you're gonna love Rats. If you grew up listening to From First to Last or the Blood Brothers or As I Lay Dying or my friend, I Set My Friends on Fire, then I think you're gonna love Rats. Yeah, come laugh.
It's been great chatting with you. Maxwell Nalivansky, alongside Carl Fry, writer and directors, are debuting their first feature film together, Rats. You can see their film out at the Calgary Underground Film Festival on Saturday, April 20th at 7:30 p.m. out at the Globe Cinema. Max will be in attendance with Danielle Plager.
I'm Lucas Anders. It's Moving Radio on CJSR 88.5, community powered radio.
Woo! You ain't going nowhere! Call! FBI!
Now keep filming!
You run out your cousin that fast.
You know what we do with rats in my country?
No, 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 no.
We kill!
You ever do anything dangerous like that?
No.